Our reading for Monday, May 18th, begins in Acts chapter 22 and verse 1. Acts 22, verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted the way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those who also were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying at the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging, to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, What are you about to do, for this man is a Roman citizen? So the tribune came and said to him, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, Yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. Paul said, But I am a citizen by birth. For those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. We will save the last verse to go into chapter 23 for tomorrow's reading. But let's go back and think about some of the things that are contained here within chapter 22. Remember that we had finished out chapter 21. Paul had been arrested. The mob was pretty frenzied. The Romans came down and intervened, grabbed Paul and arrested him, and ordered him to be bound with two chains and began inquiring as to what's going on. But the mob of the people kept following them, crying out, Away with him. Then we find that Paul asks if he can say something, and the tribune asks if he was the Egyptian who led this revolt of 4,000 men. And he says, I'm a Jew, I'm from Tarsus in Cilicia. And he asks for permission to speak to the people. Now, Paul didn't have to directly address, was he an Egyptian? He just addressed where he really was from, which answered that question. So Paul's not avoiding the question. He did answer it. And so that's what we see in chapter 22, is he'd given him permission to speak, and we see him speaking to the crowd. And they notice first of all, that he's speaking Hebrew, so that piques their attention. And they're okay with him talking all the way up to the point that he begins talking about the Gentiles, which is what gets them upset again. So he begins this speech pointing out who he is, a Jew from Tarsus, brought up in the city of Jerusalem, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, which was an extremely respected Jewish teacher, that he was a follower of the law by a very strict manner, and that he was very, very zealous for God, even so much so that he was persecuting this way, which is the way of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus. So he's persecuting to the death, binding and delivering people, both men and women. And he says these are things that are verifiable. These are things that you can check with the whole council of elders, and they would have to confirm this. And that he carried those letters of authority, and he was journeying to Damascus, and then gives the recounting of him being confronted by Jesus. We have just a little bit more information from this account than we have previously, primarily with his salvation and this interaction with Ananias. But he does give this information about, you know, being confronted by the light, confronted by Jesus. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And there's no doubt at that point. Paul completely believes that this is Jesus the Christ. You don't see him questioning it whatsoever. Was it necessary that he be struck blind for a time? I think it was. I think that he needed to completely focus on repentance. He needed to completely be humbled so that he could move forward with not only his own salvation, but then the work that Jesus was going to assign to him. So when he pulls up or begins to describe Ananias, he describes him as a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there. So he's giving credence to the story. You know, here's another person that you respect that can confirm these things. And points out that when he came, his sight was restored. Now, what's interesting about that was the restoration of sight. Yes, the blind was necessary. Yes, it was necessary that he focus on his repentance and focus on fasting and praying during this time and be humbled. But I think there's a secondary benefit to him being struck blind and then Ananias coming and restoring Saul's sight. And that is that when he relates this, it gives more support to the story. It's a miraculous event. Remember, the miracles were to confirm the word. And so it would be obvious that this Ananias was sent by the Lord, and it is by the Lord's power that his sight was restored. So Ananias tells him that he had been appointed to know his will, to see Jesus, to hear a voice from his mouth, and then be a witness for him to everyone of what he had seen and heard. But he can't do that until he takes care of himself. Verse 16, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. There's two things we learn from this particular situation and this account. Number one, Saul was not forgiven until he did what everybody else has to do. He had to do the same things. He had to be willing to confess the name of Jesus, to repent of his sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus, as well as the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then walk faithfully. He had to be willing to do those same things. So he has to do that. Paul was not somehow immune or exempted from the same requirements for salvation that everyone else is. Neither were any of the apostles. All had to be cleansed of sin. The second thing we learn here is that no matter what you've done, if you're willing to repent and you're willing to live faithfully toward God, then you can be forgiven too. I mean, he describes himself saying that he was guilty of putting people to death and binding and delivering people over to the council of elders. So we might say that Paul had sinned in such great and drastic ways, but what we find is those things can be forgiven. So we move forward in the story. He talks about Stephen and his approval and watching over the garments. Then verse 21, he was told, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." So they were willing to listen up to this point. Once he says, "We were going to preach to the Gentiles," they get upset. Now, keep in mind that it was entirely possible for a Gentile to be proselyted into the Jewish faith. So it's not that salvation could never be offered to the Gentiles. That can't be what they're upset about. I think that they've just been worked up into such a frenzy regarding the Gentiles being brought into the church that as soon as they hear that, they are triggered and that mob mentality comes back. And they're ready to just throw him out, hang him, stone him, whatever they can do to him. And it says they were throwing off their cloaks, flinging dust into the air. I mean, they are just, I don't know how to describe this, but to say they're raving mad about this. And so the tribune orders him to be brought into the barracks. Says he should be examined by flogging. In other words, they're going to interrogate him and they're going to torture him at the same time. However, as they're getting ready to do this, Paul asks the question, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen?" Which is, the answer is, no, it's not. It has to be something that goes through the courts and get an official judgment before they can punish a Roman citizen. That creates some fear for both the centurion as well as the soldiers. And so that's reported to the tribune. The tribune comes and asks, "Are you a Roman citizen?" The answer is yes. The tribune says, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "I am a citizen by birth." So they withdrew from him immediately, for he was afraid, realizing that Paul was indeed a Roman citizen. So that closes out our reading for today. We will pick up with chapter 22, verse 30 tomorrow, and then move into chapter 23 as well. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for participating with me in these daily Bible readings. I hope that they continue to be of benefit for you. And I ask that you continue to be in prayer for God to be with us all. Thank you.